We've got a lot going on here at First Baptist, and you are welcome. You are invited, if you don't already know that. You are invited this year. Luke chapter number 2, we're going to be looking at verse 13 and 14 to get us started. Luke 2, verse 13 and 14 to get us started this morning. If you found it, say amen. Luke 2, 13 and 14. If you haven't got a Bible, it's all right. There's one in the pew rack. Use your phone. It's all right. Whatever works fast. I talk fast, so you need to be able to move around fast in the Bible. Verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts." Now, you know this is with the shepherds. Because when you back up to verse number 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." And I thought to myself, yeah, I would be too. I know they're beautiful. I know they're incredible to see. I've never seen one personally, but I got a feeling they're going to be they're incredible. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not." I'm sure he had to be like, hey, relax, relax. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day in the city of David," or excuse me, "for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Of all the messages that the angels bring, and that's what the word the angel means, is messenger, this is it. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," we know that to be Bethlehem, "a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. What a glorious sight that would have been. What an incredible time to be alive, to be out there on that hillside and to see your host praising the birth of our Savior. And Father, today we come in obedience by faith, today praising you for sending your Son to be our Savior. And Father, today the message still rings true. Our Savior was born in Bethlehem. Our Savior has come. And Father, today it is because of your love for us you sent him. It is for his love for us and you that he went to the cross and rose again. And now, Father, today you still offer salvation to everyone who will receive you. And Father, let us take that message to all who would hear. And if there's some among us today who's yet to receive that message and trust it, as we have, I pray, God, today let it be their day to believe. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday, we were out passing out flyers. And if you'd like to take some with you, we have some out there on the information booth. But they're announcing, you know, all the Christmas activities we've got going on. And I was out, and you can tell a lot about a family based on their front door. Have you noticed that? Is it just me, or you can kind of tell, can't you? You can. I mean, there's still some folks out there who have fall decor up, and some folks who still have Halloween up. And I'm not looking if that's you. Okay, I'm not looking. I'm not looking, right? I mean, and there's other folks that are, you know, they were cleaning up from their leaves, and that's fine. You know, I still have some. I only have one tree, and praise the Lord that, and me and the neighbor, we kind of share the leaves depending upon which day of the week the wind's blowing. But many yesterday were starting to put up their Christmas decorations. And now there's some folks out there that they're already in it, okay? They've been in it since Thanksgiving, and man, every square inch of the front of their townhome is covered in Christmas decor, and they're really, really getting into Christmas. And I love Christmas decor. I love this time of the year. I love driving around and seeing it. I don't always like being the one who has to put it up. Can I get an amen? Right? I mean, right? Okay. Yeah. But I do love it. I do love seeing it, and I love it when an entire neighborhood decorates. I remember as a child, I was telling the story to my wife, the song Silver Bells. My mind always goes back. I was sitting in my dad's pickup truck, because if you're right with the Lord, if you were raised right, you sat in a pickup truck in the wintertime and waiting for your mama as she was going to the pharmacy. And the song Silver Bells came on the radio, and it was snowing up in Spring Valley, Illinois. And I looked down the street, and every lamppost had a blue and a silver bell. And garland, and this, and it was just, that's where my mind goes. It goes back to those days when Dad and I and my brothers would go out to the tree farm and cut down the biggest tree we could get. Because I lived in a gas station, praise the Lord. It had 16-foot ceilings in our house. So we'd go get the biggest trees we could get. Hey, it was awesome, because when you guys couldn't go outside and play, I had a basketball court inside my garage. We just pushed the cars outside, and we could play inside. But I love Christmas. Mom would decorate, I love it when the whole neighborhood does. But there were some folks out there that was interesting. You walk up to their door, and they were getting into the holiday spirit. Because, you know, they started to have like snowmen and Santa Claus. But you could tell they were clearly from a different faith than Christian. Because the writing, like the signs on the door were in Arabic or some other language. But they were clearly from a different faith. But they were getting into the holiday spirit. They just didn't have Christ of the holiday. When I saw those a couple of homes like that, I started looking around and realizing there were very few homes that were actually immersed in the idea of Christ in their decor. But then that's not an indictment. I was also at Home Depot on Friday and realized there isn't any decor to buy. See, I remember growing up where everybody in my town had a nativity set in their yard. Do you remember those days? I mean, and listen, if you had those that were like made out of plastic and they were like 3-4 feet tall and they were pre-lit from the inside, I mean, they're kind of scary looking, you know what I'm saying? Because they were like life-sized and you were in tall cotton if you actually took and made yourself like a barn to put them in, you know what I'm saying? And you could really, if you went all out, you actually had like a fake, like cow and a fake mule and boy, if you had a camel and wise man, you were the cat's meow in my town, buddy. I'm telling you, you had the full nativity set, not just Jesus and Mary and Joseph. If you had everybody and maybe a shepherd or two, you know, man, that was the big nativity set. I find people are afraid of those things today because my wife's got these little figurines of choir kids going. They kind of freak our visitors out to our house. It's like an M. Night Shyamalan movie. You turn around and there's some kid going like that. But have you noticed Walmart, Lowe's, places like that don't have very few. You got to go to like a secondhand store, someplace where people are getting rid of things to find the Christmas stuff that's actually got Christ in it. Every yard, every door has a message, but very few are a message about Christ, which I'm not here to indict people. I'm just saying, it's interesting how things have shifted over my lifetime. I'd like to think I'm not that old, but I pray that your Christmas this year is Christ-centered. Amen. That you'll be fully immersed and that your family will be fully immersed in Christ this year. Because Christ wants to be everything we'll let him be. He wants to be everything you will let him be this year at Christmas. Because just like every door, and every door that I went to had a message. Every character in the Christmas story had a message as you read it. And what we find is, as you read through Luke chapter 2, everybody was proclaiming a message. Look at verse 7. At the end of the verse, it says she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The message of the innkeeper was there was no room for him. There was no room for the Lord. And we'd like to beat this guy up, but the truth is he was making the best of a bad situation. Caesar Augustus had called for the world to be taxed. His message to the world was, you can't tax people you don't know about. So he called for a census. And everybody had to go back to their hometown, the town of their family lineage. And they had to register because you can't tax people you don't know about. You need to let that sink in. Okay, I'll go on. All right. So the place was full of people. I mean, the whole town was full of people. He was making the best of a bad situation. All the rooms were rented. This girl's on his doorstep about to give birth. You scramble and you do the best you can. And I get it. It wasn't the best of rooms, but it was a room. He got creative, so he made something happen. I mean, but how often does Christ get crowded out of our lives unless there's a place specifically prepared for him? You know, because, you know, if we don't specifically make room for Christ, I find even in my life, he gets crowded out. He gets relegated to an afterthought if I'm not careful. And this year, we need to make sure Christ is right in the middle of everything. Fully immersed in the Christmas story, Christ needs to be in the center of it. But you know, the message that Mary brings to this story is that Christ gives himself to those who want him. Look at verse 4. Oh, thank you, brother. Yeah, I'm struggling up here. Thank you. Thank you. Look here. It says in verse number 4, and Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Mary was an incredible lady. She was prepared. You go back to Luke chapter 1. Look at this. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 27. Look what it says here. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 21, she was a virgin. She was a pure woman. She was a pure woman. She was living a pure life. She had a pure testimony. Look at, she was a spouse. She was engaged to a good man, living an honorable life. His name was Joseph. Now, she was of the house and lineage of David herself, not just David, or not just Joseph, but she was too. And so she was prepared of God. And she wasn't somebody, you know, you'd think, well, she was kind of a nobody. She was kind of an obscure girl from an obscure place, but that didn't matter. She still lived a pure life, and she kept herself to be used of God. And in verse 28, the Bible says, and the angel came in and said, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. What a concept. Wouldn't you love to be able to hear someone say, boy, the God is with you. Blessed art thou among women. Not above, but among. Among all women, you're blessed. Why? God's with you. You're pure. You've got a pure testimony. What set her apart? She was willing. I love her attitude. When you read this, like I said, the least likely candidate in a time of poverty and oppression, by the world's standards, she didn't have much going on. But by God's standards, her greatest ability was her availability. She wanted God's plan. Look at verse number 38. I love what she says. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. You know, she was engaged. Now, when you study a Jewish wedding, you get engaged, and you're engaged for at least a year. And you're the guy you're engaged to, he goes off. You don't see him. It's not like you see him every week or every day. I know when Mrs. Mix and I got engaged, we spent time together almost every single day and had a meal together, and we were together constantly. We were inseparable. And if not by being together, we were on the phone and talked for hours. And no, Joseph was going to go back and build onto his father's house and get the business to where he could support his wife. And she was getting things ready and she was making ready herself, and so she had plans. And God kind of interrupted those things. Did you ever think of that? And those of you who've gotten married, how many of you, your wedding went exactly perfectly the way you thought it would in every aspect? Right? How many of you were so goo-goo gaga in love that you didn't realize it till a couple weeks later? that it went messed up. No, no. No, the fist fight that broke out at our wedding, it was immediate. We knew things were going off the rails. Right? I mean, hey, listen, if it's done properly, a redneck wedding has at least one fight. Okay, I'm just saying. Okay, right? We all have plans. We all try to get things to go in a certain direction, go and do, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. Oh, one day I'll tell you the story about our wedding. It was interesting. Anyhow, it really is. It's like, it make a great romantic comedy. Anyhow, God upset all those plans. But what was her attitude? Be it unto me according to thy word. I love that. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. The message Mary was saying was, I want God. I want God. He gives himself to those who want him. She was an incredible lady. And you know, when you go down to verse 47, she's with Elizabeth and she says, my soul, in verse 46, my soul doth magnify the Lord and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. She knew she needed a Savior. She knew who he was that she was going to give birth to. She knew why he came. I love this. When you go to the marriage of Cana in Galilee in John 2, she tells those servants, listen, you do whatever he tells you to do. And it's like her entire life, she's been pointing people to Jesus. You need to do whatever he says. In the red letters, do what he says. And Jesus said, you need to believe on me. She knew who her son was. She referred to him as my Savior. And today, you need to follow her advice. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, as the payment for your sin, and just like he's the payment for my sin, she referred to him as her Savior. She knew why he was coming. No mother wants to see it happen, but she knows why. And today, the message of Mary's life was, according to God's word, I want what God wants. And her life preached a message without saying a word. Had she said nothing, her life still spoke volumes. Her submission, you see her praise in verses 46 to 45. God will give guidance, strength, and blessing to those who want him. Those who want his will. Those who desires his praise because she kept her life pure. She wanted him to be pleased. So Jesus gives himself to those who want him. What's the message that your life tells people? I pray you'll be fully immersed in the Christmas story this year. Here in you go to Matthew chapter 1. Another character you'll find in the Christmas story is Joseph. Imagine Joseph. Joseph had plans. Joseph had dreams. Joseph had things going. Joseph, he was learning. He had his carpentry trade. He had paid the bride price. He had negotiated with the father of Mary and went ahead and made the vow to Mary and Mary to him. And he had gone back to the father's house to build on to the house and to be ready. And she was pure and he knew it. And they were going to start their lives together. And then she tells him. She comes home from Elizabeth's, pregnant. 3 months pregnant, showing. Imagine Joseph. Now, and you can imagine how he felt. In Matthew 1 and verse 18, the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Imagine Joseph, his dreams and his plans are now turned on their ear. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. Imagine the pressure on young Joseph. Imagine the sense of responsibility to be the adopted father of the Christ child. Within a short time, the ridicule from that small town would start. Oh, Joseph, why did you go through with it? Joseph, why? You could have married another girl. Oh, any girl would have been lucky to have you. Why do you have to pick up the pieces for her bad mistakes? And everybody would have blamed her. But Joseph wanted to be led of God, to follow God. And what we find out is if you're willing to be led of God, God will lead you. What message does your life tell? I'll tell you right now, Joseph's life was, whatever the Lord wants, I'll do. His will takes precedence over mine. The shepherds, we read the story of the shepherds. Go back to Luke chapter 2. You know, the shepherds would not have been my first choice as humanity's spokesman to receive earth-shaking news from an extraterrestrial being. You need to let that sink in for just a second, right? Angels aren't from here. Just help you with that. Okay. All right. But the shepherds were willing and they were available. But the other thing they were was still. How long has it been since you were actually still and quiet? Where the noise of this world was not taking precedence in your life. It's crazy. How long has it been since you didn't even let this thing vibrate? You turned it all off and forgot it was even here. How long has it been? You know what I'm talking about. You put it on the table and it vibrates. And you're trying to have a conversation and this anxiety starts to build in your gut. Because then it vibrates a second time. And you don't know whether it's Facebook or Instagram. You don't know if it's your boss and the noise of this life, even though you shut the ringer off. You know, the shepherds had listening hearts. You know, when Jesus speaks, he speaks through the Bible, but he also speaks through that still small voice as you read it. There'll be that still small voice you hear in your head. Have you heard him lately? How long has it been since you were still and quiet? He'll speak to those who will pause and will listen. That's the message of the shepherds today. If you're alone and quiet and available, he'll speak. Go down to chapter 2 and go down to some interesting characters in verse number 25. Now, when you get to verse number 21, it says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named to the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, which were 40 days out of Leviticus 12, according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." That's out of Leviticus 12. So they head down to Jerusalem, and it was written in the law of the Lord, "Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said of the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, two pigeons." So they head down from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout." Look at that word, waiting. "Waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Out of the thousands of pilgrims that came to Jerusalem to worship and to be there, this guy understood why he was there. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, now look at that next phrase. Because Simeon knows what's about to happen. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what this little boy's going to do. He knows Isaiah 53. He knows. He looks at her and he has compassion on her because he knows she's probably going to live to see her boy die for their sins. A sword is going to pierce your heart, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He gets it. He understood. He was led of the Spirit. That's called discernment. When you're walking with God and you're filled with the Spirit, the Lord will direct you to make decisions. He'll direct you on where to be and when to be. And he'll be, if you're open and you're listening and you're following the Holy Spirit, he'll direct you, and he gets it. Imagine all the traffic that's going on around him, but the Lord directs him. And then Anna, look at Anna. And there was Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age. She was a widow, okay? So she'd been married 7 years, and then she'd been a widow for 84 years. 84 years she had been a widow. And she served, look at this, and she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. What was the message of Simeon and Anna? The message was, those who know they need him, Jesus will come to them. Jesus rejoices when people realize, hey, I need you. This is the one. I've been waiting all this time. This is the one. You know, worship was something. At that time, people were coming and making their offering and putting this in the offering plate and going home. And they were bringing their animal and making the offering and going home. And it was just something they checked the box. It was just this religious formalism that was going on around them, but not for Simeon and Anna. No, they were meeting their Savior that day. Their whole identity was wrapped up in this little baby. They had been waiting, they'd been anticipating, they'd been praying, they'd been truly worshiping. You know, for them, Jesus was center stage. It didn't matter what the high priest was doing, it didn't matter what the Levites were doing, it didn't matter what was going on in the temple courts or anything going on around them. This was the whole reason they showed up that day. It was Jesus. They were led of the Spirit that day. And so it is today. Jesus is supposed to be center stage in our worship. Jesus is supposed to be center stage in our Christmas. Imagine the irony as I would walk up to doors yesterday to put a gospel track on a door that had Santa Claus and the Frosty the Snowman and other holiday decor. But you could tell they were obviously from a different faith than Christian. And realize you're missing the point of the holiday season. I'm not trying to indict them. I'm just saying, of all the other things that go on, the point was Christ. Just like today in Simeon and Anna's day, all the hustle and bustle that was going on around them that was religious and was laid out in holy writings. Everybody that day that was swirling around that old man and that old lady was missing the point of why he came. Do you need him? Do you know him? Do you realize that Christ is the whole reason Christmas is? He's the center. I pray this year your entire life will be fully immersed. This Christmas will be fully immersed in Christ's story. Because see, Christ guides those who by faith trust him. Imagine being one of the wise men. Go over to Matthew chapter 2. You know, you didn't just get on a superhighway back then and travel a few hours and cross a couple of different states to get to someplace. When you headed out, you packed up and it'd take months to travel. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the day of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." Now these are outsiders. These are Gentiles. Perhaps the least likely to anticipate, least likely to understand or believe the prophecies of the Messiah. But these were men who saw with eyes of faith. These were men who trusted with hearts of faith. These were men who sought him with unshakable faith because they left their home and they would spend weeks to travel from probably Persia and Iran to cross the deserts to get to Israel. But you know, God says that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. These people were the least likely, but yet they probably had the writings of Daniel. A lot of times when you talk to people, maybe at this Christmas, you're going to be with family and they're going to say, "Well, you show me and then I'll believe." No, these guys left home and went, "I believe. I can't wait for you to show me." When they walked into the court of Herod, you understand, by the time they got to the court of Herod, news had already traveled from the front gate of the city that they were there and what they were looking for. Because the Bible says when Herod heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. They got to the front gate and the guard's like, "What are you doing here?" "We're here to see the Christ. We're here to see the new king that was born." Runners had already been sent to Herod. "Hey, there is foreign dignitaries here waiting to see the new king. Who's the new king?" They didn't say, "Show me, then I'll believe." No, they said, "I already believe. I can't wait for this guy Herod to show me." What is it like for you? Have you trusted Christ with eyes of faith and with a heart of faith? Have you exercised your faith and trusted Christ as your Savior? You know, the Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life." You know, the whole reason Christmas is because we needed a Savior. Mary said that in verse number 47. She said, I rejoice in God, my Savior. I realize God has sent this baby to me. Why? Because I need a Savior. I am a sinner who has sin that needs to be paid for. And that's why this child has come, to free me from the penalty of sin. Jesus saves those who by faith trust him. He guides those by faith who trust him. What message does your life tell? You know, the greatest witness is not going to be in the words you say this Christmas. It's going to be in the change in you. See, your family and friends, when you meet with them, they're going to remember you from way back when. It's the change in us. It's what Christ is doing in us that's going to stand out. The difference. I can imagine the wise men as they were getting ready to leave. These were not poor guys. These guys had money. They couldn't travel without it. They didn't just three guys on a camel. You understand? They had an entourage. And to keep safe from bandits, they probably had armed guards. And they had a full entourage of people that came with them. And I'm sure their wives and families are like, "Are you sure? This sounds like a really, really sketchy. I don't know. Have you thought this through? This doesn't sound like a very well-laid plan. Are you investing the money wisely? Have you, you know, you realize you got to cross the desert. You got to go from Iran through Iraq. You know, they didn't have those names at the time. You got to go through old Babylon. You got to go through. There's bandits and there's the desert. And how are you going to find water? And how are you going to get there? Have you thought it through?" And they're like, "I already believe. I just can't wait for my eyes to see it. I already believe. We've come to worship him." That's what they told Herod. "We already know." You know, Jesus uses those who can't keep silent about him. Every character in the Christmas story could not keep silent. Think about it. The message of Jesus was throughout the story. Because every one of them had an encounter and they told somebody. Back with the shepherds, back in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 17, look what it says. It says, and when they had seen it, when they'd seen the Christ child, these shepherds, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Well, who told them? The angels. You'll never believe this. We were out minding our own business in the field, and the angels showed up. And they said, we'd find a baby in a manger, in a stall, in Bethlehem. Sure enough, we went. There he was. And they all heard it and wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The wise men witnessed to Herod in Jerusalem. Anna, Luke 2 and verse number 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I imagine she walked over to the line of people with their sacrifices, with their sheep and their goats and their oxen and their turtle doves and their offerings to put their sin off for a year. And they're like, look, these aren't needed anymore. The real sacrifice for sin, the real Lamb of God is right over there. Their mom and dad is holding him. He's the one. That's the child that was to come. That was the Passover lamb. You don't need this anymore. These are no longer necessary. The one that will take away sin for all time is right over there. The apostles in Acts 17:6 were said they turned the world upside down with this message. See, most anyone who has met Christ, truly met Christ, wants to share the news. It's hard to find a life that's been transformed by Jesus that doesn't speak to others about it. In John chapter 1 and verse 40 through 42, you find Andrew and Philip going out and talking to people and finding their own family first and bringing them in. Have you told somebody about how you met the Lord? Have you? Have you told anybody about your relationship with Christ? What did you say? How did you present it? Did you go through how you came to a realization you were lost and how you realized Christ had died and rose again to pay for your sin? So you prayed and asked him to forgive you and you believed. And that was the day Christ saved you. And now you know for sure you're going to heaven because the Bible says you are. And so now, and you just share that? I mean, it's that simple. That's all Anna did. When Anna met the Christ child and realized, she went out and told everybody who was lining up with their sacrifice. When the shepherds met the Lord and saw this little baby and realized the angels were right. This is the Passover lamb. This is what every sacrifice from Genesis 3 all the way up to today, that day symbolized. This child would grow to be the one that would take away our sin. This would be the one that Isaiah spoke about in Isaiah 53. This would be the one. And they went out and told everybody. Everyone that would listen. It's true, not everybody you talk to, because Herod didn't listen. Herod felt threatened, ended up killing every child he could get his hands on in Bethlehem. It's true, Herod didn't listen. The Pharisees didn't listen. The shepherds wanted to proclaim him. Herod wanted to silence him. Anna wanted him magnified. Herod wanted him neutralized. This year, as you fully immerse yourself in the Christmas story, Christ needs to be at the center of it. It's the whole purpose of it. It's really not Christmas if you take Christ out of it. Isn't it interesting? It's now Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Isn't it interesting that you can talk about anything else and get away with it until you mention the name Jesus? Isn't that interesting? Because you went from being a philosophical, enlightened human being to a racial bigot the minute you mentioned the J word. Isn't that interesting? See, it's just as useless. Christmas without Christ is It's just another day on the map, or another day on the calendar, I suppose. See, our relationship with Christ is to be expressed. And if he's making a difference in you, it can't be hidden. It can't be hidden. And that difference, when it deeply penetrates our heart, it ends up affecting all the other areas of our life. His presence, his power, it becomes unmistakable. It becomes undeniable. So what message does your life tell this year? And the shepherds couldn't keep it to themselves. And the wise men couldn't keep it to themselves. Anna and Simeon couldn't keep it to themselves. I imagine the angels rejoiced. So each one of us has a story to tell. And you know, our story doesn't end with a baby in the manger, or even a Savior on the cross, or even a Savior who's resurrected from the grave. Our Savior's coming again. Amen. Jesus said in John 14, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, a marriage, a Jewish marriage, pictured our relationship with Jesus. See, Jesus came and paid the bride price. And the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, you entered into that covenant just like Joseph and Mary did. And then just like Joseph went back to his father's house to start to build on, Jesus went back to heaven in Acts chapter 1 in verse 9 and 10 to build a place for you, John 14 and verse 3. I will go and prepare a place for you. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. Right? Then what he said in John 14, 2? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And there will be a shout. Remember that in 1 Thessalonians? He will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And what is that shout? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. See, that's what Mary and Joseph were expecting. A year later, Joseph and his friends were going to come, coming down the road in Nazareth, and they would shout, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And Mary would get on her best veil as she could hear the shout from the edge of town. That's what she was expecting. And Joseph would come and take her away to their home that he had prepared. The Jewish wedding is a picture of the rapture. Our story doesn't end with a baby in a manger. Our story, brothers and sisters, does not end with our Savior on a cross. Our story does not end with an empty tomb. Our story has yet been written in eternity. He is coming again to take us to the place for the marriage supper of the Lamb. The shout is coming. And those that are ready will go in. Those who know the Lord as their Savior will go in to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Are you ready? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? Look, baptism doesn't save you. Communion doesn't save you. It's not by works we do. It's not by church membership. It's by repenting of your sin and trusting Christ. See, Christ is the point of Christmas. Christ is the point of our lives. Christ is the point of our future. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. He's the real message. He's the message our life needs to speak. Now, God may adjust your plans. If we learn one thing, every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, God adjusted the plans of Mary and Joseph. God adjusted the plans of the shepherds. Because truthfully, if you know the whole history, they're now out of a job because the Passover lambs are no longer needed. God may adjust your plans as you submit your life to him. That's true. But as Mary said, behold, handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. What a beautiful statement. No greater statement of faith can be made by a believer than, let it be unto me as God wills. Because our future is already set in eternity with Him. Our Heavenly Father, our desire is to have Christ at the center of our Christmas. And Father, that our lives would be fully immersed year-round in our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And Father, that the message of Christ and Christmas would be one that could not be drowned out by the world and drowned out by the busyness of life, but that it would be evident all around us because it's evident through us. And Father, today, if there's anyone here that has yet to trust you as their Savior, they're trusting in a baptism or a catechism or a communion or some other rite or ritual or ceremony, God, help them to see it's the person of Jesus that we depend upon. It's His blood that was shed on Calvary. It's because you loved us, you sent Him. It's because He loved us and you that He went to the cross and rose again, that that payment would be made for us. And Father, today, if there's anyone here that has yet to trust Him, give them the courage to come forward and receive Him. And Father, for us, your children, help us to look at our life today. Point out the areas where you're being crowded out and pushed out and drowned by the noise of our life, and let us put you back in the center. Help us to see how, Father, for you to be the point, the reason, the message, and that our lives would be fully immersed in it for your glory. Speak to us today, God, and we will respond in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play, the altar's open. This is the time to come and speak to the Lord. Come talk to Him. Yeah, come up here and just take a minute and pray. If you want somebody to pray with you, I'm here. Or you can pray by yourself. But won't you come and speak to the Lord today as she plays?
Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come, all you sinners, come find His mercy. Come to the table, He will satisfy. Taste of His goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save us, whoever believes in Him will live forever. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Whatever your need is, whatever your need is, we're here. We'll pray with you. Whatever you need. Anyone else? Whatever you need, let me pray with you. Whatever it is. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And God, we can't do anything without you. Father, you're the point of it all. You're the reason. Help us, Father, to immerse our lives in Christ. That this Christmas, our life and the message of our life will be undeniable to the world around us. That it's you, oh God. It's always been you. And Father, in all of it, be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, man. Look this way.